I believe that this is important for us to grab hold to and understand about who God is and the God being given him the glory. We have to understand that when we sing these songs, they're important. They're valuable to us. We got to sing these songs with everything that's in us. Now, I gave you enough scripture to kind of get your mind stirred up, going in a direction last week. We want you to keep going down. How many know we have to be sober? If we don't stay sober, we're going to not understand or comprehend the things that are around us, and they're going to, there's something about it that the enemy will use against you. But if you're sober-minded, if you're not intoxicated by the stuff that's going on around you, and I feel like that's where the church world really is, gets intoxicated by stuff that's happening, going on, and we fail to see the importance of where we what we need to be thinking about. I can tell you right now, we ought to be thinking about the Lord and his return, his coming back. If you're here and you have any doubts whatsoever or any fear, let me put it this way. The Lord reminded me of this. If you're afraid of the end, you're not ready. So, because it's a happy time. Don't be afraid. What can you do, or what do you want to do that can trump when the King of Kings walks in? The Lord of glory. Think about that. There's nothing that we, what do you want to do when he takes over and rules and reigns for 1,000 years? So if a person's afraid, they don't want to hear, don't tell me that, I'm afraid of that, I don't want to talk about the end times, you're not ready. We're not, because this is what you have to be able to, it's not something to fear, this is a joyous time. It's a time to look forward to his return, it's getting closer. So we look at the birth pains that the world is in. And that's exactly what's happened. There's the hurricanes are doing what they, you know, you look at them. The seas and you look out and you see all these different things that are happening. This thing's rocking and reeling. Earthquakes have happening. Back to back earthquakes. Fires. There's fires burning all over right now, especially going up in the north, in Montana. All that, just fire after fire. Stuff's going on. It's crazy things that are happening. And then they'll tell you that the storm's going to go this way and it's going to go that way, and they give you about 25, 30 lines, and one of them's going to be right. The truth is, none of them are actually the same. They are none of them actually right. If you take 25 shots at something and draw a line, if you draw enough lines, you're bound to hit it sometime. But and all of a sudden, this line's and that. So they give you what's called the cone of error, you know, the cone. There you go. I can do that. I can give you, I can say it's going to go somewhere in the United States. It's pretty accurate right there. So that's what happens. But there's all these things going on. What is that? Birth pains. It's groanings. There's a groaning happening. We're right there. So don't be afraid. No fear. That's what the Lord told me this morning. He said, if people shouldn't fear my return, why would you fear it? It ought to be an exciting time. But if you don't have the depth of preaching about the kingdom of God, you're not going to be, you're thinking it's just going to be bad because you have no understanding of the kingdom of God. The true gospel is about the kingdom of God, when he sets up rule and reign, and things are changed. Things are absolutely going to be changed. How many excited about taking on your immortality. Yes, think about that. That ought to be exciting. Amen? You know, you watch these movies and they talk about different things in these movies, and you know, you got the guy that he does supernatural things. Mm-hmm. You know, like the what you call these movies they come out with? What's the ones that come out in there? The men, they call them certain kind of men. They're like the X-Men and all that. They got supernatural powers and they can't be hurt. They run over with a train, they jump back up. You've seen these movies I'm talking about where they, you know, and it's all you're looking at them and you say, man, it's all fantasy, right? Well, wrong. When you take on what God's going to give you, you're going to surpass that, because you're not going to do it for selfish agendas and all this. And then what happens typically, the good guy goes bad guy, and now you got two X-Men fighting each other. It's not going to be any of that. It's going to be God wins, and everybody else is going to be in trouble. So what a day that's going to be when his face we will see. When we look upon the face of our Savior, Yeshua HaMashiach, when he comes and rules and reigns and sits on the throne of David. That's not in heaven. How many know the throne of David's not in heaven? That's going to be here on in this earth. We're going to see him rule and reign for 1,000 years. And I want to be there. How many want to be there? The only way you cannot be there is if you lose out with God by not submitting and obeying what he commands us to obey. Some people during that time, they're just going to be dead. That's a terrible place to be in when he's ruling and reigning. I don't want to be dead. How many want to be alive when he's ruling and reigning? There's only two ways that's possible. Two ways. I'm going to give both of them to you. You ready? You're going to already have died in Christ, and you will be resurrected from the dead. How many thank God for resurrection? Or you're going to be alive and remaining here, and when he returns, you will be changed. You will be changed. Not maybe, might, you will be changed if you're following Christ and doing what he's asked you to do. Now, well, let's continue. We're talking about to God be the glory. To God be the glory. How many know that's important? Valuable for us. Now, I wanted to get started, and Jesus never claimed to be the creator, and why? He never claimed to be the creator, and why? So how many know that we ought to listen to the things that Jesus said? That'll be on 41. 41. So I think that's it. It'll be somewhere thereabouts on it. I don't know if I added a couple and didn't send them to you. But here we go. So we've been talking about or read our last verse that we read dealing with this was Psalms 33, that verse, scriptures before that. I don't know if I, did y'all have that in your notes? Did I read Psalms 33 for you? All right, so we're going to read that one. All right, did I read Matthew 18:10 for you? Matthew 18:10, take heed that you despise not one of these ones. All right, Hebrews 5:7-9. Did I read that one for you? Romans 8:1-3. How can you worship the Father if you do not have a clear understanding of who he is? Is that where we stopped? What is? Well, there we go. That's where I need to be. 36. How can you worship the Father? How can you worship the Father if you do not have a clear understanding of who he is? Now, these songs selections were absolutely incredible. Now, these songs are fantastic because they biblically sound. Absolutely biblically sound. And so I want these songs to be sung continually until we learn them and get them, because we need them. Now, we know the one we just said, Mighty God, we know that one. But those other songs, we need to sing those continually until we know them like we know our names, because they are stuff that people need to hear. The whole time they were singing, the Lord was telling them, these are the songs that need to go forth into all the world so people will hear it. This is powerful. I'm just telling you, you can't expect from God revelation and understanding and then inspiration. Remember that. You can't expect revelation and understanding and then inspiration. Inspiration is what happens to you when you get revelation. It's what happens to you. Now, the teacher anointing is to give you revelation. The preacher anointing is to inspiration, for inspiration. It's to inspire you. I aim to do both of them today. I want you to have revelation and inspiration, because inspiration is when you can take pen to paper and start writing down things that the Lord shows you. That's inspiration. All scripture is given by inspiration, profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction, instruction in righteousness, that the one who hears or reads or sees these things can go on and do what God's called him to do. So how many ready for that today? All right. How can you worship the Father if you do not have a clear understanding of who he is? In Romans 8, 1 through 3 says this, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Messiah Yeshua. No condemnation to them which are in Messiah Yeshua, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Messiah Yeshua hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Notice what makes us free. The law, for the law of the Spirit of the life. The law of the Spirit of the life of Messiah Yeshua hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, Yahweh, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. How many see that? He condemned sin in the flesh. Very important, because if he don't condemn sin in the flesh, then we don't have a way to the Father. For the first Adam failed in the flesh. But the last Adam, he had victory in the flesh. He obeyed the Father and loved the Father with all his heart, with all his mind, with all his soul. Everything that in him, he loved him, and then he conquered and paved the way for you and I, because he showed us how somebody, a person, a human being, can love God for who he is. Showed us that. This is powerful stuff. So there's no excuse for us not being able to follow what Yeshua did. He didn't love God because he was God. He didn't love God because he had a God power that we don't have. He was filled with Holy Spirit, just like you and I can be filled with Holy Spirit. But if you and I don't use that power in order to have a successful relationship with the Father, that's not his fault. Somebody's always looking for a reason why they are where they are, or act the way they act, or say the things they say, but it's not nobody's fault in here. We got to obey. We got to humble ourselves, submit to the Lord. The more you do that, and the more you pray in the Spirit, and you allow that to happen in your life, it changes you. You don't have to have a contact with a preacher. You can, if you, because you know these things. Look, we're talking about people who've been saved, who's experienced salvation, who knows what it is to repent. They wept before the Lord. But what happens over time? Over neglect, over giving ourselves over to other things and getting intoxicated with other stuff rather than being filled, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled. It's the same comparison. If you want to get intoxicated with Spirit. You're going to be filled with something. Everybody's going to be filled with something. Nobody likes to be empty. We're going to overindulge ourselves in something. But I want that to be the Most High. Amen? So what I see in Romans when he talks about, because let me tell you, these are the verses that get thrown up at you. But he didn't come to condemn. Well, he said there is no condemnation to them who are in Christ. Other than that, there is condemnation. You see, we don't want to read the whole thing or understand the whole thing. Listen, let me go back. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Messiah Yeshua. That's a correct statement. But if you're not in Messiah Yeshua, there's condemnation. There is condemnation. So keep that in mind. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7. This one right here gets you going. Who in the days of his flesh when he had offered up prayers and supplication with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. In that he feared, though he were a son, yet he learned, yet learned he obedience. Are you getting this? Jesus learned obedience. You don't learn obedience unless you've been through something where you can disobey. He learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author. I like that. In being made perfect, he became the author of salvation unto all them that obey him. How many see here? There's no give me here. The give me you get is faith. To every man's been given the measure of faith. For what? To believe. That's a give me. To every man, not saved, to every man has been given the measure of faith. The rest of it, you have to obey. And how do you learn obedience except it be through the suffering? Anybody can shout hallelujah when their pocketbook is full, when they got a great report from the doctor, and everything's going swell. They got vacation planned. The children are behaving. Are you understanding? The husband's acting right and the wife is sweet. Anybody can shout hallelujah. But let some of that go out of order and a hallelujah leaves. Let me tell you, that's when the storm comes and the rain beats against the house and the wife's not acting right and the husband's acting a little weird, and the children are misbehaving, and the bank account's a little empty, and you stand up in the church house and you say, hallelujah, I don't know why I'm going through this, but this one thing I know, I'm going to give him praise because he ain't never done anything to me to hurt me. That's what has to happen. And if we know the Father, it's going to be something about it. So I want you to see this. Who in his days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplication, that's another thing we need to do a little bit more of. Offer up a little prayers with supplication, with strong crying. Anybody, when's the last time you sat before the Lord? Don't cry because of the pain you're in. Don't cry because of the trouble you're in. Cry because you're overwhelmed that he invites you into the presence that only he can provide. He invites you in. And without the blood of Jesus, we shouldn't be there because we'll be dead without that covering. Do you understand that? Thank you, Father, for the blood of Jesus that cleansed me and covers me and protects me. So important that we understand that. Offered up prayers and supplication with strong crying unto him that was able to save him from death. And it was heard in that he feared. This is what's missing. You think that Yeshua was afraid of him? Was he afraid of the Father? That's not, but he respected the Father. And if Yeshua has a respect for the Father, I want to know where the church's respect for the Father is. Where is it? Where's the church's level of respect that we really believe that the one who spoke the world into existence by the breath of his mouth, do we realize that's the one that we just got finished singing to? And he won't take a half a praise from nobody. You say, well, you know, I didn't really feel it. That's fine. Don't matter what you feel. He didn't take a half a praise from nobody. You're either going to worship the Lord your God with everything that's in you, or that's it. Because he gave everything that he could give to us in order for us to get back in right standings with him. That's what righteousness is. We can get back in that right standings with God. Amen? So, hopefully you'll see this. Though he were a son, yet he learned obedience. I can read these over and over. And over, I can't tell you how many times I went over this one right here. I read them over and over and I debate and say, God, did this one go in here? Is this the one that needs to be there? Because the Bible says, though he were a son, yet he learned obedience. That's some of the things that, you know, we don't want none of this stuff. We want it, God, serve it on a silver platter, do something, but Lord knows I don't want to go through anything. He learned obedience. If he was, if he had all the power, why would he have to learn the obedience? We taken away. We got to quit taking away from the one who came and showed us how a man can love the Lord his God with everything that's in him. How somebody, if he just refused to sin, if he loves God more than the cares of the world, more than the temptation, more being enticed. He was enticed. He was tempted. He was. The devil tried to draw him off, get him off his course. He didn't take into it. You know why? He fed himself continually on the word of God, and he just kept saying, it is written. I know you say I could do that, but the Bible says something different. Every time you ever went in transgression against God, you know what? You went opposite of what the word said for you to do. That, therefore, it's sin. But then you recognize that. You come back to the Lord. You don't think David, when he got on the house, on the rooftop, and he already knew I shouldn't be on this rooftop. I shouldn't be here. And then when he started looking, he said, I already know I shouldn't be looking in that direction because I know who lives over there. But before he got on the rooftop, I'll submit to you, he went on the rooftop so he can get a look. He already knew he shouldn't be there. And he knew he sinned. And he didn't quit sinning. He just carried it on. He broke covenant with God. Then he realized the glory just left. With no glory, I'm in trouble. So what did he do? He purged himself of him. That's called repentance. When you repent, you purge yourself of you. Because nobody wants, let me tell you one of the most difficult things. We grow up, we know how we are. When something goes wrong, we got into trouble, whatever, and mom and dad calls you in, nobody wants to admit they done the wrong. We looking around. Well, he did it or she did it. Yeah, you know, everybody's got it on their hands or whatever they got into. But we always looking to put it on somebody else. That's not repentance. You know, I'm going to come back, but, you know, so-and-so needs to, they need, it's got nothing to do with so-and-so. You broke fellowship with God. You broke covenant with God. What do? You humble yourself. What did they took the crown off? Ain't no sense in me calling myself a king. He was still king, but I need to take this off. Because I sure ain't no kind of king in no shape to be telling people what to do. Hey, what are they going to do? What I did? Go take somebody's wife, get her pregnant, and then kill the husband, and you live happily ever after? He took his robe off, stripped himself. He refused king's food. Kings ate well. He wasn't the peasants eating out there, get you what you can. He was king. King's food is good. It's the best. He said, I don't want that food. Matter of fact, I don't want no food. He got on his face. And he cried out to God because he knew the glory had left. You can be the king. You can have the anointing. You can still have the gift. But when the glory leaves, you're in a world of trouble. Purge me. Clean me, God. Wash me. That's where the church has got to get back to. Because if we don't get back there, we're not going to be ready when he returns. I'm only on the second one here. I got to go. Matthew 18:10. Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. Now I want to tell you, some people, we lose God. God gets lost. The Father, Elohim, Yahweh, he gets lost in our thinking. Some would say, well, you know, God is a spirit. You can't know God. But he's not a nobody. Do you know that God has a face? There's a song I listened to this week. And I want to just, we got to do this song. It says, your face piercing the depths of me. We sang that before. I know we sang that. Come quickly, my Father. Just something about your face piercing the depths of me. Something about that. Because listen what he says. He says, take heed that you despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven, telling us what. Now, this is important. Some people want to know about what's going on in heaven. Their angels. Whose angels? These little ones. Their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. You know why they're beholding his face? Think about it. They're looking at the face of the Father with intent for those little ones. Because the moment he says, go protect them, go stop that automobile, go stop that drug from working, go stop, they're not dying yet, don't go. And that angels, the angel don't quit. Steady looking at the Father. They're angels. Your angels. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister to those who shall be heir of salvation, Hebrews says. How many times he did that? Your angel, God's they looking. The next angel said, well, who are you? I'm Josh's angel. This is how they are. Beholding the face of Yahweh. And Yahweh knows everything. Angels only do what they're told. He says, now, I want you to go right now because there's something terrible. Go. I want you to know that there's a ladder that's been dispatched for every person that's in this place. And they've been working on your behalf. So we don't realize behind the scenes. If God could just, if you'll ask him, if you'll say, God, show me. I'm telling you, it's nonstop. It's busy, 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 busy. It's stuff happening, constantly happening. If you think the devil's going to outdo God, I'm telling you, you are mistaken. If the devil got his demons going back and forth, roaming to and fro and doing all of this and shooting over there and lying in this one and deceiving that, I submit to you, by the Spirit of God and the power of the holy angels, they're going back and forth and they're doing something for you and I because that's what the Word says. That in heaven, their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. 5:8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see Elohim. I mean, ready for that. So this is something to look forward to. Psalms 33, 6 through 9. By the word of Yahweh were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathered the waters of the sea together as a heap. He layeth up the depths in storehouses. Think about that. He lays up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear Yahweh. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. Wow. So let's look at it. Jesus never claimed to be the creator. Why? Well, we're going to see it. Because that is brought up in Colossians. They'll bring the Colossians verse up that Jesus was the creator of everything. For by him all things were created in heaven, whether it be thrones, dominions, powers, that's passage. We'll look at that. Very important. Well, let's look at what God the Father, I want to say, submit to you, God the Father is the creator. God the Father is the creator. So if Jesus in the beginning is said to be the creator, means he is co-equal, co-eternal. Co-equal means that you have all the same authority that's equally distributed to you. Co-equal. You better be careful when you're saying co-equal. If you say co-equal, that Yeshua and God is co-equal, you better be prepared to show scripturally why Yeshua refused to say that. Because he didn't say that. You got to be prepared for that. I'm going to show you God, the Father, is the creator. Let's look at it. Matthew 19, 4. And he answered and said to them, have ye not read? Now, who's the speaker? Who's the speaker? Well, we know that Yeshua is going to answer them, right? Have you not read that he, which made them at the beginning, made them male and female? Now, Yeshua says this. He that made them from the beginning. He didn't say, And he answered and said unto them, have ye not read that I, that would have been proper, if he's the creator of everything, he just said that I made them, right? In the story, case closed. That's the evidence. We don't have to go no further. If I was the attorney in this case, I'd say, Your Honor, we rest our case. Because if he says I, there we go. But he said he. He which made them. Well, let's continue because it's ongoing, right? Mark 10:6. But from the beginning of creation, Elohim made them male and female. So we got He, and then we got Elohim. Mark's account, Matthew's account. Mark 13:19. For in those days shall be affliction such as was not from the beginning of creation, which Elohim created unto this time, neither shall be. So he says Elohim created. That's what he says. He is Elohim. So I hope that you take some time to consider all of these verses. Now, in Genesis 1:1-31, we covered this several times here in the last few weeks, right? I went through all of these verses. I went through each one of them, and we covered it. And so in the beginning, he talks about this. He talks about what he's saying here. I'm not going to read all of these verses, but we'll skip through some of these. You've had them. You can go home and look at these. They're a very important passage. Like I said, you get Genesis 1 wrong, you got some trouble throughout the scripture. In the beginning. In the beginning, Elohim created the heaven and the earth. How many see that? The earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of Elohim moved upon the face of the water. And Elohim said, let there be light, and there was light. And Elohim saw the light, that it was good. And Elohim divided the light from the darkness. And Elohim called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And it just continues to go on. And it constantly never changes. It's all about Elohim. Verse 28, and Elohim blessed them, and Elohim said unto them, be fruitful and multiply. Who is he blessing there? When I start with that verse, who is he blessing? Bless them. Same them that Yeshua talked about in Matthew. And he created them, both male and female. That's what he's talking about. So take some time again. Go back through those verses. I put a slide in there just to remind you. As you're studying the scripture, you got to go back through and keep reminding yourself about those key verses that are so important. Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 5 through 7. Then the Levites, Jeshua, Kidmiel, Benai, Hashabani, Sheribaha, Hudijah, and all the rest of them said, stand up and bless Yahweh your Elohim. What did they say? Stand up and bless Yahweh your Elohim forever and ever. And blessed be the glorious name which is exalted above all blessings and praise. Thou art Yahweh alone. How many see that? Now watch what I underline here. Thou hast made the heaven of the heavens, with all their hosts, the earth, all things that are therein, the sea, and all that is therein. How clear is that? Who are we talking about? First, he tells us who we're talking about. We're talking about who? Bless Yahweh your Elohim. What does that mean? Yahweh your God. Your God. Bless Yahweh your God. Does God have a name? Yes, he has a name. Now think about this. Then he goes on in verse 6. Thou art Yahweh alone. So there's another distinction. How many Yahwehs? One. Yahweh alone. They're not two Yahwehs. If we got two Yahwehs, we got a lot of confusion through the scripture. One Yahweh. Now watch this. Thou hast made heaven, the heaven of heavens with all their hosts, the earth and all things that are therein, the seas and all that is therein. Thou hast preserved them all, and the host of heaven worshipeth thee. Thou art Yahweh, the Elohim, who didst choose Abram and brought him forth out of Ur of the Chaldeans and gave him the name of Abraham. You're the one that did all of that. Psalms chapter 8. Verse number 1 says this, O Yahweh, our sovereign, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Where's the glory of God set? Above the heavens. Ezekiel tells us what it looks like. How many ever wondered what the glory looks like? He said it's like an emerald. It's like emerald. Now, we see a rainbow. Don't we see rainbows? Rainbows have that emerald color in it, but it also has all the other colors. But when we're dealing with the glory of God, it's a rainbow that's going to be bright. It's like fire. It's like emerald. It's bright. It's like lightning coming from him. It's bright, bright, bright. And so he gives us some examples of that. Maybe we'll get to that here in this one today if we can. Who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemy, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens. Who are we still talking about when I say thy? When I consider thy. Who am I talking about still? I'm still talking about Yahweh. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy finger, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained. I'm still talking about Yahweh. I'm just telling you, Jesus never claimed to be the creator. But who was the creator of all things? Yahweh. Remember that. Why do I need to know that? Oh, let me tell you. You need to know it. Because when you start giving worship, you need to know that everything you get to enjoy, with your feet is steady standing on, everything, Yahweh, is the reason for it. Amen? Now, what is man? When he said, I consider all these things that you did. What is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made. Who? Thou hast made. Still talking about Yahweh. Him. A little lower than the angels. Now, I want to deal with the word him there. Is him Yahweh? No, him is something that's a little lower. Him is dealing with Adam. Because we got anthropos there. What is man? What is anthropos? What is anthropos? What does anthropos mean? The study of what? Man. Anthropology. How many's heard this in school? If you're still in school, you could have heard of anthropology. It's the study of man. What is man, the anthropos? What is that? He says, well, I'm going to tell you what it is. Thou hast made him, that anthropos, lower than the angels. So let's deal with Adam being the first one. Because this has two applications. One applies to Adam, the other applies to Yeshua. The one made a little lower than the angels, but then what God did? He said, Adam, I give it all to you. Everything I made, I'm giving it to you. All the animals, all of this that I made is perfect. The Lord saw that it was very good. If God said it's very good, then I want to tell you what I believe. I believe it was very good. And he gave it dominion to Adam. Satan didn't like it. Lucifer didn't like it. Hallel didn't like it. I don't like that. Why you didn't give it to me? And there's none more beautiful than I am. And he started thinking about himself. Hence, angels have a will. They're created to do their own thing if they want to. Most of the angels don't do it because they realize who he is. The fallen angels, or the watchers, when they fell in Genesis 6 story, they realized that the price that was paid or the judgment that was cast, man, let me tell you, God don't play. You go against him, look at the trouble they're in. He got them into Taurus. Scriptures use it in Jude and in Peter. Let me tell you, that's the deepest of the abyss. In chains until judgment. Well, if you see that happening, you probably don't want to do that. And most of them didn't. But they could if they choose to. Keep that in mind. Satan, that's what he decided. Well, you tell you what, I'm not going to put up with this. I'll show him. And then he comes against man that has dominion. And what does he do? He tricks him. Tricks him. So now that's the application to Adam, application of Christ. That has made him a little lower than the angels and has crowned him with glory and honor. Did Adam get crowned with glory and honor? Absolutely. He was the king of the kingdom. That's what people fail to realize. Adam was the king of the kingdom. He wasn't some caveman who was going ooga ga goo ga. And Eve was doing, you know, walking kind of funny. That's not what it was. They were perfect. They were dressed in the glory, crowned with glory and honor. They were something to behold. Adam and Eve was absolutely spectacular. No kind of wrong, nothing was wrong with them. They had a perfect, perfect body. Perfect. Can you imagine that? But the world wants you to believe that somehow we evolved from some ape man. And then we had to kind of learn and be taught. We couldn't figure out our left hand from our right hand. We were dumb. Dumb animals. That's not what the Bible says. He made a man in his own image and likeness. Is God an ape man? Is God dumb? Is God trying to figure it out? No. He knows what's going on. He made man in his image and likeness, crowned him with glory and honor. Think about that. So what is man? What can man do? Communicate with God. There's nothing to stop man at that point to communicate with God. And then because of Satan, the lie and the deception, man sinned. God was separated from God. Separated. There's only one way you can get back. Temporarily, what we're going to do is a type and shadow. You're going to sacrifice once a year. Yom Kippur is going to come and you're going to sacrifice. That's what we're going to do. And the way God had to do it to keep man involved, he had to call a people from a people. He called Abram. He said, come out from your people, from your own kindred, and go to the place I'm going to tell you. He separates them. Then he starts with this people. And he said, the very selected people that I've selected, they refuse to love me the way I want them to. But I'm going to protect them. I'm going to watch over them. I'm going to take something from that. It's going to be from that line. It's going to come from that line. We can trace the genealogy from Adam all the way through, but it's going to cross into Abraham, and we're going to go all the way through, and we're going to see that from David, there's going to be a root, a stem, that's going to be kept. It doesn't seem like a whole lot. Think about roots and stems. How many has ever seen a stem? When you make a reference to a stem, are you talking about a full-grown tree? No, we're talking about a stem. Well, ain't a whole lot left. Got a stem left. That's all God needs. I said that's all God needs is a stem. It looked like it was over. It looked like it was finished. The Philistines come up and said, your gods are nobody. I'm going to tell you, never get on that side. Never think gods are nobody. Don't reduce God to some six-foot man. I might have to say that again. Never reduce God to some six-foot man. Because that'll get you in a world of trouble right there. When you reduce God to something that he's not, then you're not going to give him the worship he deserves. You're limited to your knowledge. Your knowledge of God is where your worship is limited. What you know about him is as far as you can give that praise. Now, if you ever heard of somebody who was a hero, anybody ever heard a heroic story? Well, you got somebody who's a hero. That means in the mind of a person, they know their story. To me, if I don't know his story, he don't seem like no hero to me. Therefore, I'm not going to honor him as a hero. But if you heard his story, you would honor him as a hero. Now, how many ever heard me tell the story of my father when he saved a man's life from drowning? Now, nobody, if you didn't know that story, you wouldn't want to understand why the man, every time he saw him, he'd run up and hug him and had to talk to him and give him respect and honor. That was due to the fact that he reached down and drug him out of a cold Mississippi River so he wouldn't spend his last breath going down to the very bottom of that sea. So people didn't understand it, but he understood it. Now, how many know that Jesus is our hero? He's our champion. He's our way to the Father. He's not the Father, but our way to the Father. And he's our soon-coming King. He's the King of kings and Lord of lords. He's going to rule and reign from the throne of David for 1,000 years. How many know that about Yeshua? And we're going to give him that worship if we know that. But he's not the Father. The one that put the whole plan together, the one that spoke by the breath of his mouth, the power of his Holy Spirit moved in the womb of a virgin and took something that was just sitting there and brought life to it And 9 months later, she gave birth to a baby boy and called his name Yeshua. That's the one I'm talking about. The one when there was nothing but God. He said, let there be light. And it came. You see, that's the one that we're trying to get our mind wrapped around. And I believe that somehow in our teaching and our preaching and our songs, the Most High got lost somewhere. He's been reduced to something that he's not. We got to give God the glory he deserves. When you look into my glory, you'll be changed. What is man that thou art mindful for him, son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels and crowned him with glory and honor. That's a given glory. If somebody crowns you with glory and honor, that's given to you. That's a given glory. Think about the big difference between glory that's underived and a given glory. Very different. Thou hast made him to have dominion over the works of thy hand. Notice that thou hast put all things under his feet. All sheep and oxen and beasts of the field and fowl of the air and fish of the sea, whatsoever passeth through the path of the sea. Now, that's why when I say I'm talking about two, I'm doing one prophetically to come, the last Adam. I didn't call him, listen, that wasn't me come up with that. That's not a slogan Jesse came up with. That the Bible says that Yeshua is the last Adam. That's what it says. So the last Adam, this application, one is to Adam, the anthropos, the man, Adam, because he said, thou hast made him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Who are we talking about? We're talking about the man, him, thou hast put all things under his feet. All sheep. Then he tells us what it is. So if he says all things under his feet, we apply that to Yeshua HaMashiach, right? We can. Ephesians 1, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Set him at his own right hand, far above all principalities, powers, might, and dominion, every name that's named, and put all things. So he gives, everything's subject to Christ. It's the same thing he's saying, but one's prophetic to come, which has already come. This one was literally talking about the anthropos, Adam. Fowl of the air, fish of the sea, whatsoever passeth through the path of the sea. O Yahweh, our sovereign, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Look what you did for man. Oh, Yahweh, how excellent is your name. If you got anything, if you've ever accomplished anything, listen, just being here, hearing what's being said today, that's an accomplishment. Somebody was listening when they got told that you don't have to stay in sin, that Yeshua HaMashiach came, he died for your sins, he rose again on the third day, he's seated at the right hand of the Father, he makes intercession for you, you don't have to stay there, you heard him. You submitted to him, and now you're hearing this. I want to say like it says here, oh, Yahweh, how our sovereign, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. And what a praise. Psalms 33, verse 6, by the word of Yahweh were the heavens made. Is this helping anybody? Yeah. By the word of Yahweh was the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. That's what it says. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of Elohim. How they were framed? By the word of Elohim. So that things which are seen are not made of things which do appear. I don't know how much clear we need it. You can take a verse and draw inference from that verse. And you can build your own theology. You can. You can just build your own. This is what I think. Here's what we got to figure. Remember, it doesn't matter how we think it. It matters what he said. My question is this. I always tell, what are you going to do with all these verses? Are we going to discard these verses? Because it tells me right here in Hebrews 11, 3, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of Elohim, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. 2 Peter chapter 3. Verse 4 through 6, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? Because what's going to, you know, we're in the last days, people are going to wonder, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. All things continue from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of Elohim the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water. Now, if you notice that verse, I gave you that when I was closing the gap, because that's one of their key verses. The earth standing in water and out of water. They use that and draw the inference from that one verse saying that there was some catastrophe that took place, and so there was another, the earth in water and out of water was talking about a different flood. Well, I showed you that in water and out of water is exactly how God started. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth. Then he says, okay, now that I got my material list together. Remember the shed? It's just a pile of lumber. Somebody comes up to you and say, what is that? That's my shed. Really? Doesn't look like a shed to me, but it will. What is that? That's heaven and earth. Really? The earth was without form. It's no structures, no framing put together. There's nothing there. Then God starts putting everything together. How many thank God he's wonderful? Psalms 104, verse 30 through 33. Thou sendest forth thy spirit, they are created. And thou renewest the face of the earth. The glory of Yahweh shall endure forever. Yahweh shall rejoice in his works. He looketh on the earth and it trembleth. He toucheth the hills and they smoke. I will sing unto Yahweh as long as I live. I will sing praise to my Elohim while I have my being. Does anybody want to join with David and give some praise to Yahweh because he created all things? Is David confused here? I don't think he's confused. He could have said right here, made it clear that I can't wait to praise the one who's going to come who created everything. That's not what he's saying. He's giving the praise to Yahweh because he knows he's been given. Now, how many believe all scripture is given by inspiration of God? Well, there we go. He's inspired to write this stuff. Isaiah 45, verse 1. Isaiah 45. How many read this Isaiah account lately? We touched on some of this in one of our portions briefly a while back. Isaiah 45, verse number 1. Thus said Yahweh to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holded to subdue nations before him. And I will loosen the loins of the kings to open before him the two leveled gates, and the gates shall not be shut. And I will go before thee and make the crooked place straight, and I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, Yahweh, which call thee by thy name, am Elohim of Israel. How many see that? That is clear. Who is Yahweh? If I say Yahweh, who am I speaking of? Elohim of Israel, God of Israel, right? That's how our Bible is translated. It says God of Israel. And the word Yahweh is translated always Lord, L-O-R-D, Lord. Well, the problem with that is that when you carry that over to the Brit Hadisha, they quit capitalizing when it should be. And we lose Lord in Lord's many. That's why Paul comes on and says to us, he said there's Lord's many. There's God, there's Lord's many. But to us, there's one. If you translate it right, he says to us, there's one Yahweh. I don't know how you get more clear than that. That's pretty straightforward to me. Right? For Jacob my servant's sake, and Israel mine elect, I have called thee by thy name. I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me. I am Yahweh, and there is none else. Let me see that. There is no Elohim besides me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me. that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the rising of the sun from the west that there is none else besides me. I am Yahweh, and there is none else. And from the light and I formed the light and created darkness. I make peace and created evil. There you go. That's a good subject right there. I, Yahweh, do all these things. Now, if I had the time, I'd go into that. I did on a short teaching one time. But think about this. He created evil. Yahweh did. Somebody said, where evil come from? Let me read it to you again. Maybe we didn't hear this. Let me show you what he says. I am Yahweh, and there is none else. If you're home by yourself and somebody calls you on the phone and says, who's there with you? You say, no one. Are they supposed to say, yeah, you're saying no one, but I know there's three of you there. That would be senseless. They ask you. So if God says he's by himself, do you believe him? I believe him. He said, it's me and no one else. There is no Elohim besides me. If he says there's no other God but him, how many believe that? I believe him. I girt thee, though thou hast not known me, that thou may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none. So he's basically saying where it rises, where? East to the west, from the west, there's none. I am Yahweh, and there is none else. I formed the light. Who formed the light? Yahweh. I formed the light and created darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, Yahweh, do all these things. Wow. Drop down, ye heavens, from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open, and let them bring forth salvation, and let righteousness spring up together. I, Yahweh, have created it. Woe unto him that striveth with his maker. You see that? Let the potsherer strive with the potsherers of the earth. Shall the clay say to him that fashioned it, what makest thou? Or thy work, he hath no hands. Woe unto him that saith unto his father, what begettest thou? Or to the woman, what hast thou brought forth? Thus said Yahweh, the Holy One of Israel, and his maker asked me of things to come concerning my sons and concerning the work of my hands, command ye me. I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their hosts have I commanded. I don't know how much clearer he's got to give, but he's just telling us, I did this. I did it. I have raised him up in righteousness and will direct all his ways. He shall build my cities and he shall let go my captives, not for price nor reward, saith Yahweh of hosts. Thus saith Yahweh, the labor of Egypt, the merchandise of Ethiopia and of the Sabine men of stature shall come over unto thee, and they shall be thine. They shall come after thee in chains. They shall come over, and they shall fall down unto thee. They shall make supplication unto thee, saying, surely El, that's Yah, is in thee, and there is none else. There is no Elohim. Verily, thou art El that hidest thyself, O Elohim of Israel, the Savior. They shall be ashamed and also confounded, all of them. They shall go to confusion together that are makers of idols. And it just goes on and on and on. You could keep reading, but I read enough just to show you that the whole entire chapter is dealing with he's the creator. Jeremiah 32:17. Oh, sovereign Yahweh, behold, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Who made the heavens and earth? Yahweh. Malachi 2:10, have we not all one Father? Hath not one El or one Yah created us? How many Yahs? That's why we sing that song earlier. Hallelujah. Praise to Yah. Praise to Yah. That's what you're saying. Praise to Yah. Praise to Yah. Praise to Yah. Praise to Yah. Praise Yah. Praise Yah. Praise Yah. That's what you're saying over and over. Should we give him praise? You better believe we should. Let me say that again, Malachi chapter 2:10, so we don't forget it. Have we not all one Father? Hath not one El created us? Why do we deal treacherously, every man against his brother, by profaning the covenant of our fathers? So he's just giving us this understanding. You go on, listen, there's a teaching on every one of these verses that I'm giving you. I am restraining myself because I got to get through all of these verses. But there is a message in every one of these. If I went to Malachi and took that whole thing, you'd see how amazing it is. Acts, so I'm not avoiding that. This is what I'm using these verses for, this point to get across. Acts 4:24 through 30. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to Elohim with one accord and said, Yahweh, thou art Elohim, which has made heaven and earth and sea, and all that is there, and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David hath said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against Yahweh and against his Messiah. Against who? Yahweh and his Messiah. I want to just tell you, the church in Acts knew what I'm talking about. They knew what I'm talking about here. What happens is the church got swindled, got deceived, got brought into some kind of mindset that we can reduce God down to a 6-foot man. That's not good. For of a truth, against thy holy child Yeshua, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. For to do whatsoever thy hand, thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Yahweh, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servant that with all boldness they may speak thy word by stretching forth thy hand to heal, with signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Yeshua. Notice that when they're praying, who they're praying to? When they're praying in Acts 4, who they're praying to? Yahweh. In the name of the holy child Yeshua. They don't mention a prayer to Yeshua one time. And you got to see that. He's speaking to Yahweh. For do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now Yahweh, behold their threatenings. It's talking to Yahweh. It's talking to the Father. If I'm talking to Yahweh, I'm talking to the Father. Am I not? Am I talking to Elohim? Absolutely. Remember my second slide started this whole thing out. We have the Father, Elohim, and Yahweh. I'm speaking of the same person. But if I throw Yeshua in there, I've got some problems. Because it says here, with all boldness may they speak thy word by stretching forth thy hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Yeshua. See it? By thy holy child. And that's how they think about it. It's a powerful thing. Acts 7:48 through 50. Howbeit the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophets, heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. Notice that. Heaven's his throne and the earth is what? His footstool. That would seem to me that the throne is just where he said the throne was. Above on the rakia. The rakia is the crystal glass talked about in the scripture. Crystal, like crystal glass. And I submit to you that the earth is his footstool, because that's what it says. What house will you build me, saith Yahweh? If we're going to build a house, we got to make sure we understand that the glory he deserves has a kabod, or weighty. It's weighty. If you're going to build a house for the Lord, you got to make sure that you furnish it with something that he can sit on. And I submit to you, our view of Yahweh is that he can just sit on a chair like a regular person can. That's not so. What house will you build me, saith the Lord, and what is the place for my rest? Hath not my hands made all these things? So where's a place that we build in our worship for his rest? So when you're worshiping God, you got to make sure that whatever your mindset is toward building a place, how many want God to come and rest upon you? You want God to rest. You want how many want to feel his presence, the Shekinah glory, the presence of God? Well, you got to make sure you have a place for him to make that rest. Acts 17, verse 24, Elohim that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is master of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Think about that. Not in temples made with hands. Ephesians 3, 9, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mastery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in Yahweh, who created all things by Yeshua Messiah. So he creates all things by Yeshua Messiah. Now, does that mean that Yeshua created those things? Because he says he created them by Yeshua Messiah. Because he created them with that in mind. With that in mind. What's the point in creating a universe? What's the point in creating what he made? What's the point in the sun, the moon, the stars, the Rakia, the earth? What's the point in all of that if there's no way for man to be saved? It's senseless. And God's not, he don't do senseless things. He don't do things that don't matter. Everything God ever does matters. Because you know why? He did it by Yeshua Messiah. He knew that the first man will fail, but the second will not fail. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of Yahweh. It's the gift of Yahweh. Not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Messiah Yeshua. We are his workmanship, created in Messiah Yeshua unto good works, which Yahweh hath before ordained that we should walk in them. He before ordained that we should do it. Now, we've been ordained to walk in it, but how many know what we got to do in order to walk in it? What do we have to do? Obey. Why? Because you have a will to do whatever you want. You're ordained. It's a purpose for you. They did it for you. That's why you give it to people. You offer out the message. This is what God wants for you. Do you want it? There's times in our life where you haven't remembered the time when you didn't want it. I don't want that. I got other things on my mind. But then you came and realized, oh, man, I can't believe I did that. Then you reach out to the Lord and say, God, I shouldn't have thought that away, and I'm sorry, and I do want you. And you start worshiping him. Well, what happens? You're going to start, the more you learn about Yahweh, the more your worship gets intense. And you start thinking about that. And so when you pray, you're praying to the God. That's the one you're calling upon. Not somebody who maybe can get it done for you. We're talking about getting a different view of who God is. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 through 5. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which Elohim had created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of Elohim is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of Elohim and prayer. So how do we sanctify whatever we're going to consume? By the word of Elohim and prayer. So remember, praying over it is not enough. See, that's one that gets right over us if we're not careful. Well, I just got to pray for it and it's going to be okay. Wrong. You sanctify it by the word of Elohim. Let that soak in. If it's not in the word, then we may not be able to sanctify it. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 6. But to us there is but one Elohim. Who is that? Who is that one Elohim? The Father of whom are all things. How many things are of the Father? All things. Of whom are all things, including Yeshua. Does Yeshua exist by himself? No. The Spirit of the Father moved upon the virgin, and the thing that happened in her was by the Holy Spirit. It was a miracle in the womb. But 1 Corinthians 8:6, again, but to us there is but one Elohim, the Father of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Master Yeshua Messiah. How many Master Yeshua Messiahs? The word master there is where the King James would put Lord. They would use Lord there. The only thing is, he don't keep distinguishing the difference between what Lord. I'm not saying that we don't have an Adoni, but we also have an Adonai. They're close. Is the Adonai the same as Adoni? No, that's a lesser Lord. Think about that. Listen, if your Father is God, you're not equal with him. Remember, because he's your father. You can look just like him. You can act just like him. But you will never be your own father. You are what he created. Amen? Is that clear? Simple, simple stuff. You are what he created. And let me tell you, Yeshua was as happy as could be that he was the Son of God. The Son of God. Not God the Son. That's nowhere in your Bible. There is nowhere in your Bible the term God the Son. Nowhere. But over and over and over, he's called the Son of God or the Son of Man. How many's ever seen that? One Master Yeshua Messiah, by whom are all things, and we by him. And that's the truth, because we by him, Yeshua Messiah, because nobody can go to the Father. What's our goal? Go to the Father. But by me, he says. And this is Yeshua's words. He's speaking it. Colossians 3:10. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. So we put on a new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Who created all things? Yahweh created all things. Romans 11:33, we're going to stop here. We get through this one. Let me see how close I am. Yes, good place. Romans 11:33, oh, the depths of the riches both of wisdom and knowledge of Elohim. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of Yahweh? Or who hath been his counselor? Or who had first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him and through him and to him are all things. Let me say that again. For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Wow. So if it says for him, through him, to him are all things, you know what I believe? I believe that it's for him, through him, and to him. That's what I believe. And it says, to whom? The one we talking about. Who we talking about? Him. And I know him might seem like a little word, but I highlighted it. I made it bold, because the him I'm talking about is that same one in the first verse. Oh, the depths of the riches, both of wisdom and knowledge of Elohim. You stop me when you hear Yeshua in this reading. Stop me now. How unsearchable are his, who's the his there? Elohim. Judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of Yahweh? Am I still talking about Elohim? Yeah, remember? Now he's, see how he starts expanding this for us in these verses. But if you're reading them straight out of the King James or anything, that you don't get that out of, because it's going to use the terms God, Lord. And before you know it, you lose sight of who's he talking about here. For who had been his counselor? Who was Yeshua's counselor? The Father counseled him, because he prayed to the Father, and the Father would respond by sending Holy Spirit to strengthen him. Yeshua was counseled by the Father. Who was God's counselor? You understand that? See, he's asking this rhetorical question here. Who's his counselor? Nobody counseled God about anything. Yeah, you got folks who are writing books, and they say, yeah, the Lord's using me to counsel, and he's asking me what I think. He's got my name, too, by the way, the guy that wrote that book. He's from Louisiana, too. He said, I'm riding in my jet, and all of a sudden God says, what you think about it? Jesse? Because God wants my advice. Think about that. Does God need your advice about anything? I'm going to ask this question again. Who has been his counselor? Or who has first given to him, and it shall be recompensed to him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Wow. Well, we'll start next time right here. Again, Yeshua never claimed to be the creator, and we'll go from there. Never claimed to be the creator. Yeshua never claimed to be the creator. Now, I know everything I said today would be, in most circles, would be heretical. Because of some of the things I said today, but I didn't say them. I'm not here to stir anything. I'm not here to tell you who Jesus is not. I'm here to tell you who God is.